It is good to see all of you this morning. It is cold weather, but I can't think of a warmer place to be than with those of like precious faith who have come together to study from the Word of God. Just a couple of things before we get started. With this weather the way it is, it may be a good time to make sure that you've got the phone number in your phone when the East Side sends out their one call. Because if the weather changes and we were to decide to have services canceled during the middle of the week and they send out a one call, it'd be bad for you to show up when the elders made that decision to not show up. And I will make one other announcement. I didn't tell it to Philip. I started to, but it's so much involved in it, it would be too much to try to transcribe to Philip to him to tell up here. I have an aunt, Daddy's sister. Many of you may know her, Mary Jo Gibbs. Her husband is an elder at El Bethel. They were out wrangling cattle yesterday and messing with a calf. And the mama cow evidently didn't like it and hit my aunt Mary Jo, knocking her down. She has a major break in one of her shoulders. I'm not sure which one it is. And several fractures in her face. They took her to the emergency room out here at Bedford County. They did a CAT scan, found some bleeding in the head, and have sent her to Vanderbilt, I assume. They did another CAT scan either last night or first thing this morning. There's not as much bleeding, but they're going to do another CAT scan, and they say that they've got to deal with this before they can deal with the arm. So if you will, keep her and her family in your prayers as they go through this trial. We recently studied in John chapter 9 about the man that was born blind, unable to see. More importantly, is that the man came to see a spiritual truth upon gaining his sight. He came to have faith in Jesus. And through his story, we need to be impressed by the marvelous miracle or sign that Jesus performed here. I believe we also should challenge ourselves by looking at this blind man and ask our own selves in the spiritual sense, will I remain blind? Many of us may be blind when it comes to spiritual matters. And then if we are blind, the question needs to be asked, will I allow Jesus to make me see? So this morning I want to look at the blind man. And the title of the lesson is, I was blind, now I see. We look at this blind man's story in John chapter 9, and if you want to turn your Bible there, you can follow along as we look at some of these verses. But as we look at his story, we see the discussion is introducing his story. Jesus comes to him at the temple there, and his disciples ask him the question, verses 1 through 5. They just left the temple to avoid being stoned. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and as they pass by this blind man in verse 1, the disciples asked a question. They wondered, what caused this man to be blind? Was it some sin that he had committed or some sin that his parents committed, because the text tells us he was born that way? They assumed that that's what the problem was, that sin had caused this man to have this effect on his life. But the real question they wanted to know was, who sinned? Who's at fault for this problem that this blind man had? The disciples wondered and wanted to know, was this a result of his sin? And they assumed that that's what it was, whether it's out of superstition, as we've talked about, going back to the book of Job. But the real question is, who sinned? And Jesus gave a remarkable answer. He says, neither. It wasn't their parents, and it wasn't this man. Neither the man's parents nor him sinned. And his answer should have put to rest forever the idea of this misfortune. The consequences of sin. When something bad happens in our life, we sometimes will ask the question, and we might wonder, What did I do wrong that I'm going through this? What did I do wrong that I am deserving of this situation that I'm in? This calamity, this problem, this health issue, whatever the case may be. And we need to remember that misfortune, sickness, and suffering are not always the results of a person's sins. Now, sure, there are consequences to sins. If I'm an alcoholic, then yeah, I might destroy my liver. I might get drunk and cause an accident, injuring or killing someone. If I partake in other vices, then I can do damage to my body. So yes, there are consequences. But not everything is going to cause a calamity. God doesn't cause these things. He allows them to happen. And sometimes, as in the case of the blind man, to teach a lesson. So as we continue on, we notice the healing of the blind man. John recounts how Jesus healed the man who was blind. And it tells us that Jesus spit on the ground, and he made clay from his spit, and he put it on the man's eyes, and he told the man to go wash his eyes. And you know what the man did? He did what Jesus told him to do. I mean, you think about it. Somebody spits in the ground and makes mud and puts it on your eyes. I'd want to go wash it off too, wouldn't you? But here Jesus says, go wash your eyes. And the man did exactly what Jesus said. And as a result of that, it says he was healed. In verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9, we read, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the man with clay, the blind man with clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Imagine that. Here's a man who's been born blind. All of his life he's been unable to see anything but darkness. John says nothing about the man's reaction. But think about it. I can see now. This man's, he had to be astonished. Imagine, if you will, having never seen anything but darkness, and when you wash your eyes and you come up and you see all the colors. You see all the movements in life. You see all of these wonderful things that you've been missing out on all your life. What would it have been like to receive your sight, to have lived in darkness all these years and now you can see? To suddenly see all the sunlight around you. Imagine, you know, we're fixing to get some snow, at least the weatherman says. What would it have been like to see snow fall? I think when snow is falling, big, beautiful flakes, I think it's a pretty sight. But to be blind and have never seen anything like that, and to see it for the first time. Look at everything that this man has missed out on in his life. And to suddenly be able to see all of these things, he must have been amazed by the things that he saw. Well, Jeff, you're fatter than what I imagined you being. Your beard's not as gray, or your beard's grayer. You know, you don't look like what I... Don't you know that he had to have people in his mind pictured, listening to him, knowing them and talking to them what he thought they looked like? What a house looked like, what a donkey looked like, what a camel looked like. And here now his eyes are opened. I can see. Can you only imagine the amazement that this man has at the sights around him? When you think about it, it's really a whole new world that has been opened to him. I can see. But you know, that's not what John really writes about, is it? He writes about the question, who sinned. He writes about the healing. But what he really writes about is the reaction of the people. The reactions of everybody to this healing. There were neighbors that this man had. The people couldn't believe. Some of them were skeptical and doubtful. Surely that's not the guy that lay there begging, or lay there blind all of his life. That can't be him. I know it looks like him, but surely not. There's something different about him. He's walking around not having to be led by anybody. Was this the same man? And he told him, yeah, it's me. And this fellow named Jesus made me to where I can see. Don't you know that they had to be curious? Jesus did this. This fellow named Jesus did this to you, did this for you. Their curiosity had to be piqued. And it was. Because they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees to get their reaction. Y'all got to see this guy. He's been blind all of his life, and we need the Pharisees to see about it. So they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had their reaction. And you'll remember from our recent study of it, their reaction was, well, we've got to start an investigation into this. We've got to try to figure out how he can now see. Because something's not right. And you'll remember they also set out to try to discredit Jesus. Well, that's what they always did, wasn't it? In the first part of the investigation, in verses 14 and 15, now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. When the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see." How he followed Jesus' instructions is what he says. He did this, told me what to do, and I can see now. He was healed. In verse 14, he tells him it happened on the Sabbath. Oh, there's the problem, isn't it? Jesus worked on the Sabbath. He worked a good work on the Sabbath, the day of rest. The second part of the investigation takes place in verses 16 and 17. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath, the Old Testament law." And others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among the Pharisees. The story placed these religious leaders of the day in a dilemma. It posed a problem for them. Well, what could they say about Jesus? Yeah, this is a really good thing that he's done. He's made this man who was blind to see. And some said he healed on the Sabbath, which made him a sinner. He's working on the Sabbath, the day of rest. And some of them argued back and they said, well, no sinner could do these good works. No sinner could do something this miraculous, this marvelous. Well, then we move on to the third part of the investigation in verse 17. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They asked the man again what he thought about Jesus, and he simply said he's got to be a prophet because of what they had seen Jesus do. Because Jesus did what he had done. And then the fourth part of the interrogation was of his parents. Verses 18 through 23. But the Jews did not believe this man. They didn't believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Y'all, somebody's playing a trick on us. Somebody's trying to deceive us, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And they called his parents, the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" If this was your son, you tell us what happened. You tell us. We've got a problem, and we're going to get to the source of it. This was a way out for the Pharisees. Maybe he wasn't blind to begin with. Maybe he's been pulling the wool over everybody's eyes all these years. They required testimony of the parents. And they said, well, he is our son. But notice verse 21. His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind." But by what means we do not know how he sees now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, the Pharisees. Because the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's old enough. He's of age. You go talk to him. We don't know. You know, we mentioned in Bible class this morning that part of the trials of following Christ is the division in families. Is this not an example of it? The parent says, oh, no. We don't want to be cast out. We don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to be blacklisted by the Pharisees. You go talk to him. Let him answer. He's old enough. He's capable of answering for himself. So the fifth part of this interrogation is they bring the man who was born blind back in verses 24 through 34. So we see the fifth part of this interrogation is he's interrogated again. You see, the Pharisees could not deny that a miracle had been done. All the evidence proves that this man was the man who was blind. They can't deny that. They can't deny that this man was the one who was born blind. The only recourse they have was to prove it was not a miracle, and they can't do that. So they even tried to get the man to change his story. It really didn't happen the way you said, did it? Tell us the truth. Give glory to God. He is the one who made you able to see. God did it. Well, yeah, he did, didn't he? It was actually God. In verse 25, we see the man's response. I'll tell you again. The same thing. And he said, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, that I was blind, now I see. Really, that's all the blind man knew. And that's all he had to know, wasn't it? Behold, I was blind, and now I see. And they continued to question this man. Tell us the truth. What really happened? And again, he would give the same response. The Pharisees' answer to all of this is, you were born entirely in sin. Again, it goes back to the question that was asked to begin with. They answered, their final judgment on this matter was found in verse 34. You were completely born in sins, and you're going to teach us? Who are you to question our authority when we say that it didn't really happen to you? You have to think, this man was blind, now he sees. The Pharisees saying, that didn't really happen to you. Really? But you know what? We've come full circle, haven't we? Because that was the question asked by the disciples. Who sinned? And look at what the Pharisees accused him of. You were completely born in sins. Who are you to teach us? You're a sinner. They come full circle and they ask the question again, who sinned? In the final three verses of this text, it begins by saying, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Notice what he says. I have come into this world for judgment, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. It's a powerful statement. What does he mean? What does he mean that those who can see are not blind? And though, you know, Jesus makes some heavy statements, as some of our 60s friends might say. That's a heavy load, man. We learn from this a paradoxical conclusion. That's a big word, isn't it? Paradoxical conclusion. So what kind of spiritual lessons can we learn from the man who was born blind? Well, it's stated in verse 39 that we need to realize that we are spiritually blind. Jesus said that he came to make the blind see. But he did more than that, didn't he? He came to make a distinction. As the text points out, he came to cause division between men. Those who would believe and those who would not. Those who would follow and those who would not. Others who thought they could see are really blind because they're unaware of their blindness, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were spiritually blind because they couldn't see who Jesus was. They knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecies. But they didn't want to see. Again, I'll ask the question, are we spiritually blind today? It seems likely that John wanted us to compare ourselves to what the blind man and the other characters in this story were. How do we relate to them? I think we see in this story as our story that we need to realize our own spiritual blindness. And you think, well, nah, Jeff, I'm not spiritually blind. Are we? Can we be? Again, it goes back to seeing what we want to see. And I'll use this analogy again. I've got a friend that years ago, as a preacher, all he could preach about was one thing. He put his blinders on. He didn't see this problem. He didn't see this problem because he was only focused on the thing in front of him. And I'm afraid that sometimes we put our blinders on. And we only see the one thing that's preventing us from serving God. Maybe it's a grudge that we're holding. And it makes us spiritually blind to where we're unable to grow. Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Do you realize if we can't get over that, it produces or causes spiritual blindness? Well, I don't like what Jesus tells me to do. Isn't that definitely spiritual blindness? Because that was the Pharisees, wouldn't it? Believe that I am the Son of God? No, 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 no. That's blasphemous. You can't be the Son of God. Anything that I do that prevents me from fully following the Word of God, fully following Christ, causes spiritual blindness in my life. And I need to look at my life. I need to examine my life and see if I am actually spiritually blind. Look at your own life and ask yourself if you are spiritually blind, because if you are, then we need to understand and recognize Jesus' ability to heal that blindness. For us as Christians to come back to Christ, to cast our blinders aside, to have the scales removed from our eyes as Saul did in his conversion. But you know, in the TV series, The Chosen, Jesus comes to this man and they add to the conversation. He asked that blind man that was born blind, "Do you want to be healed?" I wonder sometimes if we really want to be healed. Or if we're content. What would it have done to the story if Jesus, and I know Jesus knew the man's heart, but what if Jesus goes to this man who was born blind and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "No, man, I'm happy. I'm content to be blind and not see everything." And to refuse the healing of Jesus. You know, isn't that us when we refuse to make changes in our life? Aren't we rejecting the healing of Christ? Aren't we rejecting Jesus as a whole when He says, here is an opportunity either for you to put me on in baptism and to have salvation, or to come back and confess your sins and repent of those things that have separated you from me? And we go, no, dude, I'm happy. I'm content right where I'm at, wallowing in the sin that I'm in. I don't want or need your healing. I'm happy being spiritually blind. Yeah, I really don't believe that. I really don't believe that anybody is content, satisfied being spiritually blind. But if we are, then we've got to realize that we need to be healed of our spiritual blindness. Because if we don't, it could lead us to develop hardened hearts and to remain blind all the days of our lives. Now, who wants that handicap in their life? Who wants that? Who wants the darkness of life compared to the beauty and the splendor of everything that God offers us? You know, I prefer the beauty. I want to see my brothers and sisters grow, to flourish. I want to see them producing fruit. I don't want to close my eyes and not see those things. I want to see when young people obey the gospel. I want to see when people understand that there is error in their lives and they make their way to the front and announce to the brethren and to God, I have sinned. Those are beautiful moments. It's an encouragement to us. And if I refuse that opportunity, then I develop a hardened heart. And the harder it gets to come out of that blindness. So the question is this: are you still blind? Are you still living in sin and darkness? If you are, then how long are you going to stay in that way? How long are you going to stay in that incapacitated state? How long are you going to stay separated from Christ? And I know some will say, well, I'm here today, aren't I? But you can still be spiritually blind. You see, Jesus wants to give us light and enable us to see, to be healed like this blind man, to be saved. Now, in order to be saved, you've got to recognize that you have a need for Jesus. That you need to be healed. Do you see that in your life? A need to come back to Christ? Do you see that in your life that you can take the blinders off and say, I know that I need to be baptized. That I need to come into contact with the blood of Christ, with this watery grave. To put on new clothes, newness of life, and to put to death, to mortify that old man. Can you take your blinders off and see if there's sin in your life that you need to make correction, that you need to change right now? The Lord's healing is available. All we have to do is accept it. Open our eyes and refuse to be spiritually blind and accept salvation. I was blind and now I see. If you're here this morning and you find yourself in need of responding, of needing the gospel of Christ, either by putting Christ on in baptism or confessing any sins that you have in your life, or it may be that you just need the prayers of the saints, we can accommodate you. If you're here and need to respond, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.